வீரியம் கரவாவஹை தேஜஸ்வினாவதீதமஸ்து மா வித்விஷாவஹை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஓம் பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவ வசிஷ்யதே. சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ருதி ஸ்மிருதி புராணானாம் ஆலயம் கருணாலயம் நமாமி பகவத் பாதம் சங்கரம் லோக சங்கரம் சங்கரம் சங்கராச்சாரியம் கேசவம் பாதராயணம் சூத்ர பாஷ்ய க்ருதௌ வந்தே பகவந்தௌ புனஃ புனஃ. ஈஸ்வரோ குருராத்மேதி மூர்த்தி பேத விபாகினே வ்யோமவத் வ்யாப்த தேஹாய தக்ஷிணாமூர்த்தயே நமஹ. ஓம் பார்ஸாய ப்ரதிபோதிதாம் பகவதா நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வ்யாஸேன க்ரஸிதாம் புராண முனினா மத்யே மஹாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிருதவர்ஷிணீம் பகவதீம் அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினீம் அம்பத்வாமனுசந்ததாமி பகவத் கீதே பவத்வேஷிணீம் யம் ப்ரஹ்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ர மருதஹ ஸ்துன்வந்தி திவ்யைஸ்தவைஹி வேதைஹ சாங்கபதக்ரமோபநிஷதைஹ காயந்தி யம் சாமகாஹ த்யானாவஸ்திததத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தி யம் யோகினஹ யஸ்யாந்தன்ன விதுஸ்ஸுரா ஸ்வர்கணாஹ தேவாய தஸ்மை நம. Chant from the verse number 7. மமைவாம்சோ ஜீவலோகே ஜீவபூத சநாதனஹ மனஷஷ்டானீந்த்ரியாணி ப்ரக்ருதிஸ்தானி கர்ஷதே ஷரீரம் யதவாப்னோதி யச்சாப்யுக்ராமதீஸ்வரஹ க்ருஹீத்வைதானி ஸஞ்யாதி வாயுர்கந்தானி வாஷயாத் ஸ்ரோத்ரம் சக்ஷுஸ்பர்ஷனம் ச ரஸனம் க்ராணமேவ ச அதிஷ்டாய மனஶ்சாயம் விஷயானுபசேவதே. Now beginning from this verse number 7, Lord Krishna is describing the Jivatma. Jiva, the individual self. So Lord Krishna says, Mamaiva Amshaha, a part of mine, a fraction of mine, Jiva Loke, in the world of Jivas, in the world of living beings, Jiva Bhutaha has become Jiva. My fraction has become a Jiva. Sanatanaha. What's the nature of the fraction? Sanatana. An eternal. An eternal fraction of mine has become a Jiva and functions as Jiva in the world of beings. Describing you and I, Lord Krishna says that who are we? A fraction of Lord. A fraction of Ishvara. So, the words of this verse lead to a variety of conclusions. And therefore, this verse is taken by the followers of Vishishta Advaita to say that Jivatma is Amsha, a fraction or part of Paramatma. This very clearly says, Mamaiva Amsha. But the Vedantins say that, so yes, it is true that I feel like I am an Amsha, I am a fraction of consciousness, I am a spark of consciousness, this is what I feel about myself. And indeed, if Ishvara or Paramatma has indeed divided itself into fractions, then I am a fraction of consciousness. So from this standpoint of my conclusion about myself, my conclusion of myself is, I am a fraction. I am a small, limited, individual, conscious being. This is my perception of myself. Accepting that perception, this description seems to only verify that perception, validate that perception. So my perception that I am a limited individual is as though validated by this verse. However, the Vedantins ask this question, is it possible for Paramatma, is it possible for Brahman or Ishvara to really divide itself into fraction? What we feel is one thing, but looking at Ishvara as to who he is, Ishvara means Brahman, Paramatma, inasmuch as Paramatma or Lord is one consciousness, it is the limitless consciousness. Sanatanaha, Sanatana, eternal. So Ishvara is eternal. Naturally, one thing about Ishvara is that he should not be perishable. I mean, he should not die. He should be imperishable. Then only he can be the creator, sustainer, dissolver. Understand that the creator must exist before the creation. Then only you can create. The creator should exist during the creation. Then he can sustain. And the creator must be around when dissolution takes place to dissolve the whole thing. So naturally then, that entity should not be subject to creation, otherwise he cannot be creator. A pot maker has to be there before the pot is made. And while the pot is there, and suppose he breaks the pot ultimately, he is there even for breaking. Like children's game. Children, sometimes they go to the seashore, to a beach, and they play in the sand from morning till evening, and they make very big house, play for the whole day, and while returning home in the evening, they kick and you know, this is a usual thing. For whatever reason, while returning, they destroy it. So when, that means the children are the creators of that house, they maintain that house, they destroy the house. When is it possible for somebody to create, sustain and destroy? When they are there before the house is created, They are there when the house exists. They are there when the house is destroyed. Is it not so? Similarly also, for Ishvara to be the creator, sustainer, dissolver of this creation, Ishvara must be present before the creation. He must be present during the creation. He must be there even after dissolution also. Meaning that he should not be subject to creation, sustenance, dissolution. He should be free from that. He should be above that. So often a question comes from children. Swamiji, if Ishvara created the world, then who created Ishvara? But creator must necessarily be one who is not created. And therefore, who is Ishvara? Uncreated creator. What they call? He is the cause of everything, but itself is not the effect. Uncaused cause. Therefore, Bhagavan or Ishvara is Sanatanaha. He is eternal in the primary sense. Eternal means immortal. Not limited in time. Meaning not subject to creation, not subject to destruction. Sanatanaha. So in this first line, there is one word called Amshaha, which describes a Jiva. This other word Sanatanaha, which cannot apply to Jiva, should apply to, in fact, Paramatma. Is it not so? Because this poor Jiva is, you know, all the time, this Amsha is changing. The fraction of consciousness that I am constantly changing, meaning that sometimes I am happy, sometimes unhappy, sometimes a doer, sometimes an enjoyer, and thus constantly undergoing change. And that which is changing must necessarily be created and should be perishable also. So Jiva is not Sanatana, Jiva is perishable. So how can you put both of them in the same line? Perishable Jiva is eternal, my eternal Amsha is perishable Jiva. Therefore, the Vedantin say that this Amsha cannot be really right. One of them has not to be right. Either is Sanatana or is Amsha. Amsha means a fraction. A fraction cannot be eternal. A fraction will perish someday because we will cut and divide something. Then what is divided also is subject to further divisions and further divisions. If there is an entity such as this paper towel napkin made up of all fibers, then you can tear it off into fiber, and fiber also can be further torn off, and so forth. So, Vedantins interpret this verse as saying that Amshaha eva Amshaha, as though an Amshaha. So, this Jiva is as though an Amshaha, as though a fraction of mine. Sanatana Amshaha, an eternal fraction is a contradiction in term. Therefore, the Amshaha eva Amshaha. So this eternal I appear as though I am a fraction. So this explains this our experiences and the samsara. That who really is functioning as a Jiva, as a limited being, is none other than Ishvara himself. None other than Paramatma. That's what Lord Krishna wants to say, that I am in the world of beings. I alone function as, I alone act as, I alone manifest as all these different Jivas. And to explain that, Upanishads say that tat srishtva tadeva anupravishada. Ishvara, in the beginning of creation, created this world of names and forms and pravishada. He entered there. Meaning that Ishvara first created this body, mind, sense complex of all the creatures. Not only human beings, all living beings. Countless this body, mind, sense complexes, countless names and forms, or countless costumes are created. And just as an actor enters the costume, so also Ishvara has as though entered this costume. Meaning thereby that the one who looks upon oneself as jiva. One who looks upon oneself as a limited being is in fact Ishvara, the limitless. So this line here wants to convey the oneness, identity of jiva and Ishvara. But why do I need to say that? Because I am feeling that I am an amsha, I am feeling that I am a fraction. I am feeling that I am a small, little, insignificant creature. That's what I am feeling about myself, and that sense of insignificance causes all this sorrow. That is samsara. What causes me to perform all kinds of actions and produce results and take the next birth and thus go through this process of repeated birth and death, what is it? It is simply my feeling that I am a limited being. So Lord Krishna explains how the sense of limitation arose in this person, in this jiva. Because I take this costume to be myself. Meaning that this body-mind-sense complex, which is a costume, which Ishvara has adopted willingly. Like a very wealthy actor willingly accepting the costume of a beggar and acting as a beggar. Only one problem happened in between here, is that the actor put on the costume all right, but then somehow started believing that he is the costume, meaning started believing that he is the beggar. Somehow that happened. What's the reason? Reason is ignorance. And so, Lord Krishna explains, wants to tell us really that in this chapter and these verses, Lord Krishna wants to say that, hey, you are not a limited entity. You are limitless. This is what Lord Krishna wants to teach. But if he says you are limitless, we won't understand. What do you mean I am limited? And so all kinds of stories are being told. Look, in the beginning of creation, first of all, these names and forms are created and Ishvara or Paramatma entered. Like the space first created this part and then entered the part. You can ask a question, Swamiji, how can space enter the part? Because space is already there even before the part is created. And so, what is the question of? So, suppose we hear the description, the space created a number of parts of different sizes and different containers of different enclosures are created, number of different enclosures are created, and space entered. Can space enter? You can enter somewhere where you are not, but space is already there. How can it enter? So how do you understand the entry? Meaning that the space identified with the part. Meaning that in the space was created the notion that I am part space. Somehow the limitless suffers from this notion that I am a limited being. Somehow the space suffers from the notion that I am a part space. Thinking that the part encloses me, thinking that I am confined only to the periphery of the part, I am not beyond that, and thus this poor space suffers from a sense of being enclosed. And then fills all kinds of complexes with reference to other enclosures, which may be of different shape, different form, different functions. Now this is a flower vase. And ever a container of very fragrant flowers. And this is a part. Suppose you feel something in this part. Let us say you feel the tea in there. You know, in India, they give you tea also in this clay pots. But this tea pot feels what? Look at this part, it's so fascinating. It is fragrant, it contains all the fragrant flowers, and everybody looks there only, nobody is looking at me. So once the space thinks that I am only confined to a part, that I am a part space, then it is subject to all kinds of comparisons and all kinds of complexes. And therefore, all kinds of sorrow. This Vedanta teaches that the only cause of sorrow is the various complexes we entertain about ourselves, because for the space there is no reason to feel sad at all, because space by nature is all pervasive. Space can never be confined. A part can never enclose a space. Different parts can never divide the space. Space is indivisible. Undivided and indivisible. At the most, the parts create an appearance of division of space. And so also, this body-mind-sense complex, which is like a part, can create an appearance of fractionalization or division in consciousness. So, however, as I said, like an actor, identifying with a costume and starting to enter in the notion that I'm a beggar and then suffers from the sense of being a beggar. And so also this Paramatma here, on account of identification with the body-mind-sense complex, suffers from a sense of littleness. Another example is that of the reflected sun. Suppose that in this pot we have filled water and we hold it in the sunlight, then the sun gets reflected in that water. How big is the reflection? As big as much as the water is. The sun may be as large as pot, whatever, but its reflection is determined by only the littleness of water. If the water contains lots of dust, then the sun, then reflection appears to be dull. If the water is shaking, then the reflection also appears to be shaking. And therefore, the sun, looking at the reflection, thinking that I am a reflection, carries all kinds of complexes, suppose. Then when you move this pot from one place to another, looks like that reflection also is moving from one place to the other. And suppose you pour this water from one pot to another, looks like the reflection also is transmigrates from one container to other, you see. Even the sun is sitting up there, totally steady, motionless, all bright, and still as a reflection, the sun feels. So sun can say that a fraction of mine has entered and is functioning as Jivatma, like the reflection. They're all the examples of how one can appear as many. One sun can appear as many reflections, as many containers of water there are. And every reflection may appear to be different from every reflection, depending upon the nature of water. Some water may be clean, then the reflection is very bright. Some water is not clean, reflection is not so bright. Some water is wavy, reflection also appears wavy. That explains the differences that we feel about ourselves. Not that the reflection is wavy or reflection is dull, it is water that is wavy and water is dull, but then reflection, water makes reflection appear that way. Now this as reflection, the sun has become samsari. And so now it transmigrates. It is in this pot for a period of time. When its prarabdha is over, then now it has to leave this. So what is death? This is the gross body. There is the water in there, that is like the subtle body. The reflection there is like the jiva. So prarabdha comes to an end, this water goes from one part to the other part. So what happens? The reflection also transmigrates from one part to the other part. That is how the samsara, the process of the birth and death begins. And that's what Lord Krishna describes here. Once this sense of littleness has come, then of course the samsara has begun. Manasasthani indriyani prakritisthani kashati shariram yadavapnodi yachabi utkramadi ishvaraha. Ishvaraha, the master. Who is the master? The jivatma. Who is the master in this body, mind, sense complex? So when the death happens, when does the death happen? Death happens when the destiny is over. It is destiny of prarabdha that is responsible for this body. And how long am I alive? As long as my prarabdha is. So when the prarabdha comes to an end, then there is what we call death. So what is this death? Death is nothing but this subtle body, the water, along with the reflection, leaving this part and going to the other part. So no death has really happened. What has happened is that what was here in this part goes to other part. But now there is nothing to enliven this part, therefore this part crumbles, meaning that this body dies and the same jivatma has entered the other body. This is called transmigration. And so what happens is this jivatma leaves this body, gets separated from this body, enters the new body, and when he leaves here, he carries with him all this baggage. Manasasthani indriyani prakritisthani karshati. All the sense organs, the organs of perception, organs of action, the prana, the mind, the subtle body. Those of you who are somewhat familiar with Vedanta know that subtle body has 17 elements, it has the 5 organs of perception, 5 organs of action, 5 pranas, the mind and the intellect, the 17 make what we call the subtle body. So just as there is water in this pot, similarly also there is the subtle body in this gross body. Yeah, it's already there, you know. But anyway, you can't see that. Maybe we will, we should have, well, doesn't matter, but anyway. No, it is too heavy. If you lift that thing and put it here, and then there is a big chair here anyway, all right, it's the same thing. Just bring it in forward, maybe two or three. Chalega, let it be, it doesn't matter. Just turn a little bit so people can see. This happens to be there. That is why you can see what this subtle body is. All we discussed it in the last class, but I mean again I'm repeating that just as there is this water in this pot and there is reflection of the sun, so also this is called gross body, is like a pot. Within that there is a subtle body in which there is a reflection which we call jivatma. So what is subtle body? 5 organs of perception, 5 organs of action, 5 pranas, manas and buddhi. The 17 things make the subtle body. So Lord Krishna says, manasasthan indriyani prakritisthani karshati. These five organs of perception function in their respective locuses. Like the organ of seeing functions from the locus called the eye, organ of hearing functions from the locus called the ears, the organ of speech functions from the locus called the vocal, you know, the speaking, or the speech functions from the organ of speech. Thus we have five organs of perception, five organs of action. The speech, the hands, the legs, the anus, the organ of excretion or organ of generation, there are five organs of action. And hearing, touching, seeing, tasting, smelling, they are the perceptions. There is mind and there is intellect. So what is mind? The feeling faculty, the reacting faculty. What is intellect? The thinking faculty, the knowing faculty. This all our personality, which is contained in this gross body. So what is death? Death is when the subtle body departs from the gross body. How long the subtle body remains in gross body? As long as the prarabdha is. As long as the destiny is, when the prarabdha karma gets over, then this departs, and where prarabdha takes it to the next body, depending upon the karma. So in the 8th verse, Lord Krishna said, Shariram yadavapnoti yachavi utkramati Ishvaraha. Ishvaraha, the master, the jivatma, utkramati, he leaves this body. And Shariram yadavapnoti enters the next body. So this is the model to understand our life. All of this is model to understand our life. No model is perfect, understand, but this model to generally explain our life. Yet we are living beings. Something keeps us alive. And we know that death comes and something happens, because of it the death happens. But we discussed it last time that we accept that there is the continuity of life. The life also does not come to an end with the death of this person. As Lord Krishna said in the second chapter of the Gita, just as a person discards the worn-out garment and takes up a new garment, similarly also this jivatma discards the old garment, namely the gross body, and takes up the new garment and the body. So as far as the person who is dead is concerned, there is no problem. Problem is the people who are alive, you know. So that is the problem. We have the problem. That person has given up the life. He's on his way. And Lord says that death is really a blessing to that person. Then your body is all worn out, old, this you can't do anything with it. Let me give you a new fresh body, with which now you can live the life and progress further. The progress is of the nature of the spiritual progress, and that's what we want to know. This body can be very limited because it's old. So what is death? Giving him a gift of new body. So we need not cry about the person who has died. We can cry about ourselves, that is a different matter, but need not cry about the person who has departed. But Swamiji, you say that the jiva discards the old worn-out body, but this person was young. He's not an old worn-out body. Why should he discard that? That is for him to decide. When do you change your garment? I don't know. There are people who change their clothes 3 times a day. There are people who wear the same shirt a whole week. So when do you think that the shirt needs to be changed? Is decided by the person who wears the shirt, not by other people. And so also, when this garment is, it is not old in the sense, it has served the purpose. Old, of course, is one thing, but when a thing is served, this is nature. When something has served the purpose, then generally it is discarded. When the seed has served the purpose, then the sprout comes. When that serves the purpose, the plant comes. When that serves the purpose, tree comes. Then the fruit comes, and then the seed comes. And that is how one thing goes, other thing comes. So when the body has served the purpose, the jiva departs. And he decides when the purpose is served. That is for our general information. So, because death is always something, there are always lots of questions about death. Well, life also, but when does the life begin? Lots of debates about when the life begins. At the 4 months the life begins, so I guess scientists may have their own opinion, and then the theologians or religious people have their own opinion. So what does Vedanta say about, or as I understand Vedanta, put it this way, what is the Vedanta's opinion about when the life begins? On the day one, at the time of conception, the life begins. Otherwise, that cell cannot grow. How can the life cannot form until then the cell is dead or something? How can it grow? The fact that one cell grows from that point on to become the full-fledged embryo is that there is life from the moment one, from the first moment. So this is how the transmigration takes place. Lord Krishna is describing the transmigration. What they call why this expression? Reincarnation. See, incarnation, the word, reserved only for Bhagavan. We don't get reincarnated, we got reborn, Birth is different and incarnation is different. Birth is as a result of karma. Incarnation is a result of his sweet will that he takes incarnation. The Ishvara is not bound by karma. Therefore, he doesn't get reborn, he takes incarnation. But anyway, whether you call it reincarnation or rebirth, whatever you call it, Vedanta accepts that. And this verse clearly describes that. So this verse and other passages from Upanishad are very clear about the continuity of life. That life does not come to an end with death, life continues. Only when physical body comes to an end. Because the physical body is a product of karma, and therefore the physical body lasts as long as the karmas have their effect. And when the karmas have exhausted their effect, the physical body has no use left, and therefore it disintegrates. And the new karma create a new physical body. So why does my physical body, why does it have its own characteristics? It is because my karmas are unique. And every jiva has a unique history. No two histories are identical, and therefore no two persons are identical. There never was a person like me, there not is right now a person like me, and there will never be a person like me. I am unique. Everybody is unique. But life, that is why this continual life in fact explains the diversity of creation. Why are people what they are? Because each one has his or her unique history. And in jiva, there is no his and her. The his her business is at the body level, understand? Not as far as the jivatma is concerned, there is no gender there. So sometimes they say that all the people who are men in this birth were perhaps women in the last births. Because women think of men all the time, so they are born as men. And men think of women all the time, so they are born as women. This was somebody's idea. Meaning that there is no gender as far as the jiva is concerned. The gender is in the physical body. And it is the karma of that jivatma which brings him to a given physical body, having a given gender, having given characteristics. But this whole unit called subtle body shifts from one to the other. Shariram yadavapnoti yachapi utkaramati ishvarah. Ishvaram is jivatma, the master of this body sense, mind sense complex. Utkaramati, when he departs from this body, then vitvaitani, he takes all the whole subtle body with him. So Lord Krishna mentions only five organs of perception and mind, but we should understand the whole thing. Manashasthani indriyani. Lord Krishna says the sense organs, the six sense organs, including the mind. So sense organs of which the mind is sixth, you know, manashasthani means what? The sense organs in which the mind is the sixth. But really, in fact, as I said, all of these form the, all of these go together. So sense organs of perception, organs of action, the prana, the manas, the buddhi, all of that goes. And when we die, all the memories remain here. Therefore, when we are born, there is no memory of the past birth. Although people have a problem, Swamiji, how can I accept that there was a past birth? Then I should remember. There is no reason that something is there because you remember. That you were there only because you remember, there is no such, rule. I don't remember what I ate yesterday morning, really. That doesn't mean I did not eat. I don't remember anything that was, when I was a child, don't remember anything. Somebody said, Swaminji, I don't remember anything in the school at all. I don't remember who were the everything is forgotten. Doesn't mean you did not go to school. Therefore, not remembering the past should not be a criterion to say that there was no past. And it is a blessing of Ishvara that we forget everything, so that you can start your life afresh. Otherwise, the past will always continue to haunt the present. If I remember what all I did last birth, I won't be able to sleep. I have a hard time sleeping this lifetime with what I have done. If I remember what I had done last and birth before that, and then countless births I have taken, I will go crazy. So it is good that we don't remember. So that Lord Krishna says, Matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. The memory is due to me, the knowledge is due to me, the forgetting also is due to me. So forgetting also is a blessing. It is a forgive and forget. So many things you want to forget, we don't forget, can't forget. It's good that those things are forgotten, that you can start your life all over again. But the law of karma works, as you sow, so you reap. And that's how I reaped in this birth, as I sowed, sow in the previous life. Vayurgandhani vasayat, just as the air carries the fragrance from a flower and the fragrance is there, you don't see it. Similarly also, the jivatma carries the subtle body, but we don't see it. Meaning that, sometimes the question is asked, Swamiji, if there is something called subtle body, how come you don't see it when the death happens? When a person dies, you don't see anything departing. But that is why it is called subtle body. What is subtle? Subtle means that which is not perceptible. That is why Lord Krishna gives an example, just as air carries the fragrance, just as the fragrance is there, you do not see it, and so also the subtle body is there, you do not see it. The jiva carries subtle body from one to the other. Why is Lord Krishna saying this story here? What's the reason? First of all, to enable us to see this fact that I am not the body. Understand that when I leave one body, enter the other body, it cannot be if I am the body. Is it not so? Yeah, I am living in one house right now, and I relocate to some place in the West Coast, let us say, somewhere in the middle of nowhere, suppose I relocate in the Midwest. So beautiful East Coast, you know, you go to all the way someplace. But anyway, you leave one house and go to other house, then I'm not the house, otherwise I could not have left the house. The fact that I could leave the house means that I'm not the house. And secondly, when I leave the house, I carry all my furniture also. The packers come and they pack everything. With that I leave, you see, all my baggage I leave. And deposit all that stuff in the new house. Then somehow make it fit one way or the other, but we do that. That shows that the furniture also I am not. House I am not, and furniture also I am not. The baggage also I am not. Similarly also, the jivatma departs from one gross body and carries all this baggage of subtle body with him. That shows that this baggage also is not him, you know. He takes this baggage called subtle body from one body, one home, to the other home. So this body is compared to a house, a dwelling place. That is what Lord Krishna wants to say. That this baggage you are not. Because you carry the baggage from one house to the other, from one body to the other. What is the purpose why you entered this body? Why does Jivatma come here? So the ninth verse said, Shrotram Chakshuhu Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Ghranam Eva Cha Adhishthaya Manaschayam Vishayan Upasevate. Adhishthaya presiding over, Adhishthaya presiding over, Shrotram the ear, Chakshuhu the eyes, Sparshan the sense of touch, Rasanam says, Ghranam, the smell, Manascha, and the mind, meaning the whole subtle body. That's the reason why Kamchara is presiding over the subtle body. He wants to again conduct his life. So whatever he did in the past, again he wants to do, so that he can experience a life. Meaning the reason why a jiva is born is to experience the result of the karmas. So whatever karmas were performed in the past, to experience the result of those, the jivatma is born here. And our karma requires that we gain variety of experiences. To enable us to gain variety of experiences, Lord has given us five organs of perception, not one. Shrotram, the organ of hearing, so that you can hear the sounds and words and music and whatever. Sparshanam, the organ of touch, with which you can experience variety of touch, like smooth, like rough. And so, the different clothes that we wear, whatever clothes come, but then people, when they choose clothes, they feel, you know, how it is. Because when you wear that, you experience the touch. And certain things like silk, you know, some of the clothes feel so good. Therefore, the organ of touch is given to us so that we can experience the different kinds of touch. Rasanam, Srotram, Chakshuhu. The eyes are given to us so that we can experience different kinds of colors and forms. Because God has made colors. You see, He has created these things and He wants us to experience them. So either because we wanted to experience, therefore He has created. Sometimes we say that because I wanted to experience colors, therefore He created colors. Or because the colors are there, to experience them, we have the eyes. See, all the infrastructure is given to us in order to enjoy our life. The enjoyment comes at the level of organs of perception. And for enjoying, all the different kinds of objects are also created. Different kinds of sounds are created. Human being created further sounds, of course, by variety of instruments. So it is sound all right, but sound of veena is one thing, sound of sitar is another thing, sound of tanpura is yet another thing, sound of tabla is one thing, then mridangam is another thing, and damru is a third thing. So many different kinds of bell, conch, our thrower, our sound, you know, voice, wonderful sound. And so that you can enjoy variety of sounds, variety of colors and forms, variety of tastes. And how many kinds of tastes have been made? All there in nature. We create further tastes, a different thing. But nature itself has created 6 kinds of tastes. The sweet is there, the bitter is there, the sour is there, different tastes are there. Enjoy them. And then smells, different kinds of smells. So Lord Krishna says that the Jivatma comes to this body with all the equipment of experience. The organs of perception and the mind are the equipment that we have to gain variety of experiences. So presiding over all of this, Vishayan upasevate, he upasevate, bhungte, experiences the different kinds of sense objects. And not only we want to gain experiences, we want to produce experiences also. So we have the 5 organs of action to produce experiences. With the organ of speech, we produce sound. With the organ of hearing, we perceive sound. With the organ of speech, we produce sound. With the organ of skin, we experience the touch. With the hands, we again produce the touch. Like that, so organs of action are meant for our response to the universe. Organs of perception, we receive different kinds of stimuli. With organs of action, we give responses. Complete infrastructure. Mind is given, intellect is given, mind is given, so you can experience different feelings. You can experience compassion, you can experience love, you can experience kindness, you can experience generosity, charity, all of this you can experience. For that, the mind is given. Of course, you misuse them, you can experience anger also, jealousy also. That also happens. That is, if you don't live properly, if you don't live intelligently, then it's possible that even taste also, they say, you know, that basically what Ishvara created is all pure and beautiful. Punyogandha prasivyamcha, Lord Krishna says, I am the sweet fragrance in the earth. I am the sweet sound in the space. I am the sweet touch in the air. I am the sweet smell in the earth. I am the sweet taste in the water. I am the beautiful forms of the names and forms. But because of papa karma, because of our papa, that we have also created what we call a stink, that is our creation. Because of papa. And so everything is distorted. So we experience both the kinds of things, jivan papa and punya. So while taking a walk, all of a sudden you get a smell of a skunk or something like that. What does it mean? It means some papa karma has arisen. While walking, all of a sudden taking a walk here, what fragrance, from these beautiful, wonderful flowers, your punya karma has arisen. So punya karma produces a pleasurable experience, papa karma produces a painful experience. But idea is, we have taken birth here in order to gain variety of experiences, all of which are the result of the karma that we perform. The punya karma or the virtuous deeds that we perform, they produce the pleasurable experiences. The papa karma, the vicious actions that we may have performed, produce the painful experiences. Lord Krishna is describing our life here, whatever life is. Remember, who is going through all the experiences? When we go through who is it? I? None other than Him. Lord Krishna says, I am doing this. I have become a jiva. And as jiva, I am going through all these various experiences. Like an actor says, I am going through all experience of begging, I am crying, I am being insulted, sometimes I am rewarded, sometimes I get a good income. Beggar also has good days, bad days. Those beggars who are in the place of pilgrimage, you know, they have good days. Lots of pilgrims go there, and usually everybody has a value that when you go to pilgrim center, you must do some charity. People who do not part the penny at home, but then when you go there, they become somewhat generous. Because it is said that the charity given in a pilgrim place is many times more effective than the charity given here. So reserve the charity there. And so beggars who are there, they are somewhat wealthy people. And then also different kinds of beggars are there, and depending on what kind of a show you can make, you get that much income. So there are also punya karma, some good day, some papa karma, bad day. So like an actor is going through this experience of begging. Sometimes a good day, sometimes bad day, sometimes he is insulted, sometimes some people are very kind to him also. So how a beggar, an actor turned beggar, understand? So also Paramatma turned jiva. Should not forget that. This story is of the jivatma, but ultimately it is story of Paramatma. The Paramatma who looks upon himself as a jiva goes through the experiences. This is called samsara. Samsara is what? Being born and going through a variety of experiences depending upon our karma. Vishayan upasevate. And thus he experiences the different kinds of sense objects or different kinds of sense pleasures. I hope it is all sense pleasures. But no, there is sometimes pleasurable experience, often painful experience also, depending upon punya or papa. So all this is being told to explain our life. But the idea is that important thing to remember here is who is going through the samsara, who is going through the process of birth and death, who is going through the process of rebirth, who is going through constantly the process of experiencing variety of objects. Who is that? That amsha, that fraction. Whose fraction? Fraction of Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? The limitless. Understand that limitless cannot fractionize. If you ask a mathematics professor, they tell you limitless or infinity divided by any number also is what, you know? Infinity divided by something is what? Infinity. So Ishvara is infinite. He said, I have divided myself into all these fractions. What does it mean? Are these all fractions really? Oh, each one is infinite. Infinity divided by even infinity. It's not divided by a large number. Infinity divided by a very large number also is infinity. That's the equation. Which equation he wants to tell us in the next two verses? We'll take a break and continue discussion of the next two verses. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnam.